Bill is at the cutting edge of today's socially conscious comedy. He pulls no punches when he zeroes in on the various issues of the day. Bill recently finished work on his HBO One Night Stand, which will air in the very near future, and he just completed his very successful national tour promoting his new album, Dangerous. Now, let's talk to him. Bill Hicks, he's back from his Dangerous tour. How are you, babe? It's good to see you.
I'm very good, Lynn. I'm out of semi-retirement just to do your show.
I appreciate that. I heard that's true. Your manager said he's not doing any work. He's been on a tour. He's not going to do anything. He said, well, he'll do your show.
That's
so I'm
right.
very flattered.
That's
I appreciate
right.
that.
I'm pleased. I'm pleased to be here.
Now, you were here last time 5 months ago, and since that time, you've been crisscrossing the country and on
the
your...
world. Went to London.
Oh, you went to London?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Tell us about that.
I was over there at playing at the Queen's Theater in the West End, real theater, and never been overseas, and it went really well, and that's it. That's all that happened.
What was your experience of London?
London was fantastic. It was like, you know, right when you land, it's welcome to London, Mr. Bond. I mean, it is. Everything, when you hear your first siren, na 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 na, you know.
You know you're there.
Yeah. And, you know, you see, it's just old, it's civilized, and I'm sure, Lynn, there's no connection whatsoever between the fact that no one has guns and there's no threat of violence anywhere you go. There's no connection. None.
Really? That's interesting.
None.
There really isn't violence there, and I thought there was some racial tension.
There might be, but there's a difference between a street brawl and an Uzi going off in a crowded area.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like New York, only it was clean and civilized and friendly, and I felt no threat anywhere I walked. I could go anywhere. And it's great. Civilized would be the word for it.
Well, that's good to know. There is a place like that on the planet that's left. What was it like performing for an English audience, your kind of material?
Well, for me, Anglo-Saxon Protestant white boy, it was like visiting the Holy Land. Nothing like being surrounded by pale, nervous people. I was right at home.
I want to congratulate you, by the way. You were nominated by the American Comedy Awards for Best Male Stand-Up Comic of the Year, which they're going to vote on, I think, in March.
Yeah, cool. I'm going to be at Elaine's the night of that, playing my clarinet.
How cool.
It's been a great year. It's been incredible, man. Starting with the Montreal Comedy Festival, the album coming out, Letterman appearances, HBO One Night Stand, going to London, and then ending with that.
Yeah.
It's been a great year.
You're cooking, babe.
Yeah. And right then, what do? I retire.
You're taking a break. You've been working your brains out.
I know it, man. You got to get some perspective on what you're doing. Otherwise, you become just the old mule with the carrot in front of your head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm taking time off as of right now, as soon as we're done.
And you're on vacation for how long?
I'm going to go to Austin, Texas for 11 days and play guitar with my friend and record some music.
Really? Stuff that's going to be put out on anything or just for fun of it?
Well, what we've done is we've made this karate movie that we scored also, and we're going to make another one. And so I'm going to go down and put the tracks down for that. It's a first ever karate opera. So don't ever say there's nothing new under the sun, buddy. Just hang
karate
tight.
Karate opera? What a great idea.
It's a karate opera. And I think it could be the Tommy of the 90s.
Well, I look forward to it.
It's all about, you might get a kick out of it, it's all about a guy named Clarence Mumford, who's a Robitussin addict. He's a cough syrup addict, and he wants to become a ninja warrior and overcome his cough syrup addiction. That's what it's about. And it's called a ninja bachelor party, for no apparent reason.
The market is now, it'll probably be a mega hit.
I'm hoping, man.
I mean, you know, Teenage Ninja Mutant Turtles. What, 100 mil? What did it bring in?
Right.
Why not?
Right.
You know, everything goes.
But I think it's appealing, something so trite as a cough syrup addict trying to become a ninja. I don't know.
A lot of people identify with it.
Yes.
Now, you got your HBO One Night Stand coming up next year. I know it's in the can. You already did it.
Yeah.
What in that special?
Well, I the war on drugs, rock and roll, and... pornography, sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Uh-huh.
I mean, but you know, I talked about the war on drugs and the rock and roll thing. I talked about was this every few years how rock and roll becomes an enemy. You know what I mean? Like with the Judas Priest.
Mm-hmm.
And I just confronted that whole mindset direct on. You know,
mm-hmm.
like you know, they say rock and roll is the devil's music. These people, right? Well, I got news for you. Let's say that it is the devil's music, and we know it for a fact to be true.
Mm-hmm.
At least he jams. All right. I'm
at
sorry.
He's got some soul.
He's got the best musicians. Okay. If it's a choice between eternal hell and good tunes or eternal heaven and New Kids on the Block, I'm gonna be surfing on the lake of fire, rocking out. How's that? You see the choice that I've made?
Great.
I'm just going to confront these people head on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was down in Florida, and that's where Bob Martinez, the governor, who is now the drug czar, these people don't go away, do they? They're like roaches. He lost the governorship. Let's move him up.
Right.
But my first encounter with him, I don't know if you're familiar with the whole thing about thong bathing suits. You know what I'm talking about?
Vaguely. I've been reading
about
it.
Well, I'm watching CNN, and I see Bob Martinez, governor of Florida, and he's going, it's obscene. It's obscene. It's pornographic. And I'm going, cool, what? What is this? And he's talking about thong bathing suits. And the next thing is some footage of women on the beach in thong bathing suits. And let me tell you something. I'm going to say this and make sure there's no mistake in what I'm saying. Any man that doesn't want a woman wearing a thong bathing suit, wow, it's questionable.
Needs a transfusion.
Yeah, even the Pope was going, what are you, nuts? Look, you can see their butts, man. Bob, are you out of your mind?
What is a thong bathing? Is just the tight in the back and
it's
the front?
It's just a string.
Skimpy thing?
It's a string in the back, and that's it.
And that's the whole deal.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and they look real good. They really do. And I tell you, if your heart doesn't just swoon and give you hope for humanity, and this guy, they're evil. I don't know, people like him and Jesse Helms, I'm convinced, people that far to the right, you know, they're hiding a really dark secret, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm convinced when Jesse Helms dies, they're going to find the skins of young boys drying in his attic. All they're going to do is interview his wife, and she's going to go, I was always curious about that collection of little shoes he had.
Big Jesse Helms fan. Our special guest this week, Bill, they don't call me dangerous for nothing, Hicks. We'll hear more from Bill again later in the show when he talks about Elvis and UFOs, including a fascinating account of his own personal UFO experience. You're going to want to hear that. I'm Len Belzer, and we are back on the Comedy Hour. Our special guest this week is Bill Hicks. Let's talk to him again. I read somewhere that you do a great Elvis impression. I never saw you do an Elvis impression.
Oh, glad you mentioned that. I have an Elvis movie that I've written, and this is the treatment to it, but
I didn't know this, ladies and gentlemen. He's showing me a picture. Is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Well, we won't spend too much time with it because our listeners can't see it. But
well, picture, but it's me as Elvis.
A picture of Bill as Elvis, an overweight Elvis, in a white jumpsuit. In that famous Elvis rocking stance, and it looks...
I'm the only guy in the country who does Elvis the last hour, okay? But, yeah, I do. Elvis is the king, man. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, give us some insight into your Elvis interpretation.
Well, I think I just find him fascinating. The fact he gave away over 160 Cadillacs in his career, did you know that? 160.
Wow.
And you're probably wondering, to whom did he give these to? Well, you'd be correct if you guessed... total strangers. But I think that's what killed Elvis, man. It wasn't drugs. He got that bill from General Motors. Oh, my God. How many Cadillacs did I give away? Shoot, I got a tour again. I can't even fit in my jumpsuit.
Well, what do you do when you get in the Elvis jumpsuit? What does the routine consist of?
What this was when, this is actually from an outlaw comedy show where you did outlaw shows, theme shows, and it was called Outlaw Comics Get Religion. And anyway, the ending was Elvis came back from the dead and explained what happens after you're dead. And he debunked many theories and whatnot. And anyway, one of the awful things was that, you know, it's terrible where you are when you die. It's just awful, man. First of all, Jerry Lee Lewis is here and he's not even dead, you know. But that was his biggest mystery, that Jerry Lee Lewis is apparently in the netherworld and on the earth simultaneously. But that's it. I've seen Elvis twice in concert when I was a kid.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wow. Was he in good shape when you saw him?
Oh yeah. It was around 70 and 74, I think. And actually, in first grade, when we did show and tell, everyone else brought a leaf. Here, I have a leaf. Look. Ooh. I lip-synced all shook up on the desk, on the teacher's desk. And, you know, I've always had a fascination with the guy.
Mm-hmm. So do you put him in your act at all anymore?
Occasionally I do, yeah. Occasionally I usually end the show with him. You know, I have him wiping, first of all, napkins on his brow, handing them out, and then he starts picking up purses and coats on the front row. It's just Elvis in a delirium, wiping everything on his brow, then tables, then a piano, pushes it out into the audience. Elvis has gone crazy.
I heard also, this is a new piece of your act, you talk about UFOs.
Yeah, well, that's a true story, I played this town in Alabama called Fikes, Alabama, which is outside of Huntsville.
Mm-hmm.
And they had UFO sightings there last year. They made the paper and everyone there in Fikes saw it. And anyway, I was down there, and because I got a real good agent. I think my agent is one of these Greyhound bus dispatchers who's on strike, and he has all their old schedules out on his desk. But anyway, I asked people what it was like, and they said, oh, it was incredible. You know, people came from miles around to look at it. A lot of them came armed. And it just so disheartened me. You know what I mean? Bringing shotguns to UFO sightings, it just, you know, brings whole new meaning to the phrase, you ain't from around here, are you, boy? Yep, they're little green people. We call them boogers. So I asked them, I said, why do you bring shotguns to UFO sightings? It doesn't make a lot of sense if these people can, you know, come from galaxies or universes or other dimensions here. I don't think a Remington 12-gauge, maybe it will be. Because I'm always curious why aliens do cross galaxies to go to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
they're doing research.
They're doing research. Well, I think, what the guy said was, we don't want to be abducted. That's why they brought guns. We don't want to be abducted. And I'm thinking, yeah, and leave all this. But I said, what do you mean abducted? And he said, well, they perform scientific and medical experiments on people. And I said, well, maybe you'll be lucky and it's some type of sterility dentistry program they got going. They come down here, castrate you, straighten your teeth, and split.
Did they pick up a gun to you after all those remarks?
They just went, huh? Huh? But if you ever ask yourself, if UFOs exist, how come we don't see them more often?
Mm-hmm.
Poaching.
My theory about UFOs is that they do exist, but they do come from other dimensions. So as soon as they do what they're going to do here, they disappear back into another dimension. That's why they're never seen for very long, because they're in and out real quick.
Right.
And they can't be tracked on radar or anything else.
Exactly my theory.
And, I mean, when they visit me, at least that's what they tell me. They say, Len, we only got a few minutes, and that Stephen
you
Wright.
You don't have a radar,
yeah,
do you?
No, we just want that Stephen Wright album and that Bill Hicks album. And we're going right back into the other dimension.
But I find it an appealing belief. I really do. You know, I've had a UFO experience, but I find it very appealing.
You have had a UFO experience?
I have had a UFO experience.
Do you want to share it with us?
Well, it's kind of personal, but me and two friends, actually the two guys who I made this movie with, We had this shared vision of being visited by a ship and these seven balls of light, which inside you could see these little skeleton figures inside moving in these light. And they led us onto their ship and we were asking them all telepathically, why are you doing this? And they said, because you wanted to know. And we said, why us? And they said, because you'll see it for what we are. And we said, how do you do what we do? How do you do what you do? And they said, we're going to show you. And they opened up their ship and we all saw this bright light. Anyway, this was a vision. We were not together when this happened. We got together later, and we had forgotten about it. And my friend said, but you get the impression we're meeting lots of new friends tonight? And all three of us, that memory dawned.
Wow.
It's kind of a neat experience.
Three people had the same vision in separate circumstances, apart from one another.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Right.
And you were all, were you intoxicated?
No.
Okay. That's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you mean sleeping or sitting, or how did it occur to you?
Well, one of my friends is a photographer, and he was taking pictures of the stars with time lapse so he could get their rotation.
Uh-huh.
And I was meditating by a lake, and the other guy was doing Tai Chi at the time.
Wow.
And I tell you something, even if there are UFOs or not UFOs, it does say something about the power of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Or, at the very least, it did augur a great change in my life, because it wasn't 2 months later that I quit drinking and doing drugs. And augur just a really positive change in my life.
That is very, very interesting.
And so I'm interested, you know. I also believe the Loch Ness Monster is actually a submarine being driven by Bigfoot. Just another
theory.
You
might be right.
Take the pressure off the Yetis, you know?
Things are becoming stranger than we can imagine. So anything's possible. Bill, I really appreciate you stopping by on your vacation to do this interview, and it's always great to see you. You're one of the most interesting people out there right now in comedy.
I thank you, Len. It's always a pleasure being here. You're the best, man.
Thank you.